Blog Talk Radio.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Well, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Ah, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We want to give a big old salute to the listening audience on olivebranchonline.org and all of those listening through Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, shalom. This is Olive Branch Ministries, and the name of our program is Late Night in the Word. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate you tuning in. Tuning in tonight. It is a cold burr in Atlanta, Georgia tonight. But praise God, tomorrow it'll be 70. Just wait a few minutes. Hallelujah. Our phone number with Blog Talk Radio. We are on for the next half hour with Blog Talk, so you can call us 347-850-1420, and if you got questions or something you'd like prayer for, we would love to hear from you. And at the top of the hour, 12 o'clock, midnight on the East Coast, we will be switching back to olivebranchonline.org, and our phone number will be 631-533-4099. So you can give us a call. We have a Facebook page, Olive Branch Ministries, and the number 5 at the end. If you put it in your URL bar, or you can just go to Facebook and search Olive Branch Ministries, and we're up there towards the top. We're the only one that's Hebraic roots oriented, so you can find us pretty easily. Email is contact@olivebranchonline.org, and I think that's all the information. We have been studying this week, as we always do on Late Night in the Word. We like to bring out some of the things that Pastor Weintraub has been studying and talking about. And right now, one thing that is going out, it definitely has to do with what's going on in the world. Please pay attention to what's happening in the world. We are in a very unique moment in human history, and the nations are being positioned. And for the first time in 2,000 years, maybe even beyond, a leader of Israel stood up in front of the most powerful nation and told that nation, we are a free people, we're a nation for the Jewish people, and we can defend ourselves. Very unique moment. And many people miss this point. They thought, well, the Congress is inviting Benjamin Netanyahu to speak. But I think God was making sure that Benjamin Netanyahu spoke to this country to declare to this country that the Jewish people have their own nation now, and they're capable of defending themselves and also capable of establishing their own journey without the help of the nations. And I look forward to the day when Israel is actually standing there having made that path, and they turn to God and they say, we are your people now. I'm waiting for that one. when they cry out to him and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord as a nation. And then we know the Messiah will be right on the tail end of that statement.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's also a wake-up call to see that not everyone in our government was welcoming the leader of Israel, and some made a show of their absence.
Yes, they did.
Just to be able to demonstrate their contempt. And so it's a wake-up call for us in this country to realize that there's leaders in and people in the midst of our government that are for Israel, but there's people in the midst of our government that are against Israel.
Very much against.
And they're against Israel for the same reason people in the world were against Jesus. They hate the God of Israel.
Yes, exactly. Now, I say that to say this, in just time with Pastor Weintraub and hearing teachings, we as believers need to wake up. And I can't say that loud enough, often enough, in these last days. There is a movement, I believe, by the Lord God Almighty to stir his people. And the people who are really for him, who are not sold out to a cultural Jesus and a cultural Christianity, are waking up. And the way that he's waking them up is he's showing them how much invasion has actually taken place in their soul. And the cry right now, I believe, of the Holy Spirit is for sanctification. And that sanctification isn't as much about the finished work as it is about separating because of the finished work, separating from the world, and beginning to walk as people of the light, beginning to set a standard and a difference between us and the world system, the way the world thinks, the way the world acts, the way the worship that the world has, its focus, its laziness, its indifference to people, indifference to the Word of God, indifference on every level towards everything that is of the heavens, of the Messiah, and his kingdom. And there's a lot of theology out there that has created the problem. There's a lot of division in the church that has created the problem, and no one wants to look at the problem as my problem. Everybody wants to point the finger at everybody else, and it's their problem. It's all of our problems. And we in this country need to wake up. We need to wake up to the mission. The mission isn't about whether the denomination across the street from me believes like I do. The mission is the people that the Holy Spirit wants to reach and comfort and deliver from demons and set captives free and raise the dead and heal the sick and give sight to the blind, and not just people who have eye problems, but people whose minds and hearts have been captured by the will of the devil.
Yes, and for people to wake up and to see that that's a reality and to realize that the divisions are there, the differences are there, because people, for whatever reasons, they want to justify the old man continuing to exist and continuing to live, even though the Bible clearly shows that the old man is dead.
Correct. This is an important thing, and I'm glad you said that. I want to go and read Galatians chapter 3, because this is such an important scripture, 3 verse 1. We were reading something last night that I thought was very profound in Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll go read that next. And we have a salvation, and I think we take it for granted. I think a lot of believers take Jesus for granted. I think they have decided what he is, and that is just the one who went to the cross, died for my sins, was raised again, and now we're waiting for him to rapture us out. And that's the extent of how we know Jesus, and we take him for granted because we don't look at the life that he was establishing. We don't look at John chapter 14 and really start to understand what he was saying about his life. So what does it say in Galatians 3:1?
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you.
Now, if you know anything about the Galatians and what Paul was addressing, he's going after what we call Judaizing, which was believers in Jesus demanding that new converts go through religious performances to assure their salvation. They were demanding circumcision and demanding obedience to all different kinds of practices within the religion of Judaism in that day. And Paul is making an argument that if you have seen Jesus and he has been set in front of you, and for him, this crucifixion, he doesn't use this lightly. Because the crucifixion for Paul meant the end of the pursuit of man for righteousness. And man's pursuit of righteousness in all the things he develops in all of his religious systems, and there are literally thousands of systems of religion that man has put to his life to not only display his sense of righteousness, but to pursue some kind of sense of righteousness. And Paul is saying, if Jesus's pursuit of righteousness was his Father, and the end of that pursuit was the cross, he is the end of the pursuit of human righteousness. And that's our focus. If he ended human righteousness on the cross, then now I have something, and I don't need to pursue anything in the flesh anymore.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of people who pursue the perfection of flesh, the religious system of the flesh, the experiential side of that religious pursuit. And we meet them all the time. And I really have a hate for the devil and what he does to people, because it's bondage. And I have a compassion for the people because they're in bondage.
Yeah. It seems that the tree of the, or the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for our time is the enticement to want to believe that there's something we can add to what Jesus has done on the cross.
Amen.
And in coming forth out of the grave, now, resurrected.
Look what he says in verse 2. Read that.
This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Okay, now let's go to Joel chapter 2, because this hearing is very important in the scriptures. And there's many places. One of them is in Isaiah. Another one of them is in Psalm. And here in Joel, the hearing for the Hebrew mind is important. The hearing for the Hebrew covenant person is important. Hearing is everything in the Bible. Hearing is not hearing with your ears, it's hearing with your spirit. Hearing is a response. Hearing is an activity. It's a function that comes out of you in response to truth. And Christians, I'm begging you, do not fall for the Western idea of belief. It's false. Belief in the Western world is an acknowledgement of a piece of knowledge, and that is it. I don't have to do anything with it. I just have to say it's true, and that is enough. It's not enough in the Bible. To be someone who believes something means that you have an action that follows what you say you believe. And so if you say you believe in Christ, that means you've put your trust in something. And so in Joel 2:28, what do we read there?
28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see visions.
Verse 2 of Galatians 3, it says, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now, what were they hearing? Were they hearing just the apostles speak?
No. That's not possible.
What were they hearing?
For them to receive Christ, they were hearing just like Jesus says to Peter in Matthew 16:17, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood didn't tell you that. Concerning the revelation that Peter had that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is by the Spirit, by the Father, by the Spirit. Bearing witness with our spirit. And so we know, and we know that it's the Spirit because we respond. Something we walk away from.
Was there an expectation that the Spirit was going to come?
In Israel, absolutely.
Absolutely. In the community of Israel, throughout the known world, there was an expectation. They were waiting for this fulfillment of Joel 2:28. If you go, into the book of Acts, a disciple meets some disciples of John, John the Baptist. And they start to talk. I believe it's Peter that meets them. And he starts to talk to them and tell them about the arrival of the Spirit. And the disciples of John say this curious thing. Well, we didn't know that he came.
Actually, I think it's Paul.
Is it Paul?
I don't remember exactly where it is, but yes, Paul asked this group of believers.
They believed in Jesus.
Yeah, and he said they haven't. He asked them about the Holy Spirit, and
right.
They said they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. And he asked them, well, what were you baptized in? What baptism were you baptized?
They had
they said John's. So they had visited the land of Israel, and they had done the baptism with John.
But then God had gone home.
And they didn't know about Jesus and the resurrection.
Correct.
Jesus and the death and burial and resurrection.
Correct. But they knew Torah.
Yes.
And they knew about the Spirit.
Yes.
They did not hear that he had come.
Yes. And so they had done a baptism under repentance.
So here's an amazing thing. If they have an expectation of the Spirit, which is what Paul's going after in Galatians, why are you now that you've seen the hope, Jesus has been crucified. We know that when he was crucified, he would soon come. And he said, I'm going to leave my Spirit with you as I ascend. And the Spirit will lead you into all truth. And he will comfort your hearts in righteousness and justice, or judgment, excuse me. And he will do this work of building up the kingdom life. He will establish my heart before you and in you, around you, in your communities. He will lead you into the fulfillment of the work of the field. So why are you being bewitched to go back to something that all it can do is perfect your flesh? And that doesn't do that very well, because we're all filled with the darkness of the life of this world. Why have you departed? Why have you departed from the glorious gospel, which is your liberty from the things that are there to make the flesh look good? And we're in a world right now, and this starts to get me worked up. We're in a world right now where Christianity is declaring that there is a type of blessing for the humanity of man that God is interested in, and it's called a wealth system. It's called the blessing, or the prosperity movement. And the Christian today is hunting for an experience. There are churches that promote experience over truth. Now, this is the bewitchment of the devil.
Success in this life.
Success in this life. An education, a degree, a career, a retirement that allows me to travel and go see the natural world, of which I'm about to depart anyway, that has no value when I compare it to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And it certainly has no value if I place the soul of a human being next to that experience. And if you need an example, and you're a physical person, and you need to go see something like this that I'm saying, go watch the movie Schindler's List. And when you get to the end, you will see that even the natural world understood this principle. Because Oscar Schindler, a man who was selfish and soulish and bent on pleasing his own soul, found out that there was a people that he could employ in his business pursuits in Germany, and they happened to be Jewish. Well, he got to be their friends, and then they started being taken by the Germans, and it started to bother him. And then he started to see that they were actually destroying these people, And he started to use his money to buy them, to set them free. And he gets to the very end of this show, and he's there at the end, and he's got this group of about 1,500 people that he got out. And he's standing on these train tracks, and he's so moved by what's happened. And he's looking at the main second character in the movie, the leader of this band of Jewish people, and he's looking at him, and then he starts to talk to him. I could have done more. I've got this gold ring. I could have sold this car. I could have sold this. I could have sold that, and I could have gotten more. It could have been 5,000, 10,000 people I could have bought and got them free. And he finally figured out what was important. It had nothing to do with life in this world. It had to do with the souls of people. And the Spirit has come. And even there's people out there who talk about the Holy Spirit as if he's someone to go experience. I need to have an experience with the Holy Spirit. I need to understand that the Holy Spirit was deposited into me because I'm a tabernacle, and my job now, my role on the earth, is to be a lighthouse, a shepherd, a fisher of men, someone who is going to go and gather up the sheep of the world that the Holy Spirit and the Father want to take out of this world. And if I have something other than that as my goal, I am being deceived.
Amen. We're even our motive for doing it, we're disciples because we understand the value of God's work.
And what is his work?
And what Christ is doing. Christ in the world, reconciling the world to God.
Did he do that for you?
Yes, he did.
Is that motivation to go help someone else see it?
Yes.
That's where it should be for us. It's simple, right? Really.
We're fighting against a lot of false teaching that we grew up in, and we're having to unlearn some things. But yes, that's the real important thing, is recognizing the value of what he's done and recognizing that life in America has blinded us. It's been a tool for Satan to do 2 Corinthians 4:4 on us. And we've grown up in a system believing that system is okay and not even realizing how beguiled and blinded we are. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Paul's dealing with there in Galatians, because the more sinister people involved in this, who are putting pressure on the Galatian people to have faith in additional things, were doing it to escape persecution, Paul says later in the text. And
well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, because the same thing's going on there. We're seeing a departing. I don't know if you're paying attention to this. We're seeing a departing from the vitality of the kingdom of God. And it has been growing and growing and growing and growing for 30, 40, 50 years in this country, slowly but surely growing and growing. And anyone who's paying attention can see it. We're losing our children. Abortion is rampant. And this is not an anti-abortion. This is an anti-murder. If we can allow that kind of murder to take place, what's happening to us as believers? I'm not talking about going and protesting on the street. I'm talking about becoming bold citizens of the kingdom, to be very serious as a community, to pray and take a stand.
Yes, if the church was unified in praying all these years,
this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, if it wasn't for all the compromises, it would have never sank to this place that
Amen.
It is. That and all the other things that are going on in the social. In fact, the more they try to have a social gospel, the more the social environment of the United States goes to hell.
Amen. Here's in let's read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, he's talking to a similar type of group. It's the group of Hebrew believers, Jewish believers who were there at Pentecost. They saw the development of the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. The dramatic move of 3,000 people saved in the city in just a matter of days, and thousands upon thousands after that were being saved. Rabbis, Pharisees, all kinds of different people were coming into the kingdom, acknowledging Jesus. And this is fact. And then just a few years later, a decade or two, this letter is being written. Written or it's being spoken, depending on how you see this particular book. And the speaker, the writer, is saying, you are under pressure. And they were under pressure because they were going through the same kind of persecution. And it was easier to just be Jewish because they had a pass in it, as it were, from the Romans. We'll leave you alone if you're not out there proclaiming that there's another Messiah and there's a king. And the Jewish people, they could do their own thing. And if they didn't raise up a king, then Rome left them alone. But as soon as you follow Jesus, you're declaring him a king, and now you're a suspect, and now you're a threat. And so they were going through persecution. And so they were drawing back. They were starting to move. And this person says, you need to be very careful. Therefore, we had to be even more diligent. Give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Well, what have we heard? Joel 2:28, the Spirit has come. The development of the kingdom mission is here. It's not about our own life. We just read in Galatians 2, crucified evidently before you. His life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, every part of it is now life for us if we follow him truly. My life ceased when his life ended and crucifixion came and the burial happened, the ascension took place, and now he's seated above. My existence suffered a transformation in purpose. If I believe in Jesus, the purpose of my life changed. Whether I want to acknowledge it or not, the purpose of my life changed. And we're going to be held accountable to how we handled that adjustment to our purpose. And that's what this writer is saying in Hebrews. You better be careful that you don't let the glorious gospel slip, because you were given the Holy Spirit as a talent. It was an investment into you. What are you doing with that amazing glory of the living God now in you to develop a direction and a mission? What are we doing with it? What is the believing community in America doing with the capacity of the kingdom of God inside of them to make a difference in this country? Are we here to be the same and make the same kind of money and be the same successful people and have the retirements and then kind of quietly talk about Jesus, wear the clothes of the world, have the celebrations of the world, look like the world, talk like the world? Is that why we're here? Or are we here to make a statement against not just the world, but the prince of the power of the air over this world? You can't do that if you're willing to compromise with this world and agree with this world. It's impossible. We have to make a distinction. And that is what sanctification is. And the Holy Spirit is inviting people to be sanctified. Will you be sanctified? Will you be sanctified? Will you be sanctified? Will you come out from among the people of this world?
Will you get born again and see the kingdom and enter into the kingdom? Because, you know, the little ruler of this world has taught a lot of people, a lot of religious people, to see the kingdom of this world and to live for the kingdom of this world.
And we do. Do we not?
Yes.
And it's a condition that I believe that we are seeing very much the rapid decline of something that God put in order, and I think the time has come for it to be over.
And there's a lot of denominations and a lot of different sects, and there's a lot of people out there saying, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. And the reason why there's a lot of insecurity about the truths of what Jesus Christ came and did for us, because people have not upheld these very simple truths about the gospel.
Okay, well, this is our last 15 seconds with Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening. Top of the hour, we're going to olivebranchonline.org. Phone number 631-533-4099. Thank you for listening. Continue.
Well, I think we got to get back to not trying to fix ourselves. There's no saving ourselves. There's nothing that we add to God's grace, but we're encouraged in the scriptures to examine ourselves in the faith.